ζευγάρι ότι δεσμένα φιλί στο στόμα. Hey, καπετάνιε, θέλεις ένα ναύτη ακόμα?
Αυτά είναι τραγουδιά, κύριε, αυτά είναι τραγουδιά.
Minutes before 9 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, midweek, October 14th, and as we mentioned, David Palaiologos joins us on the telephone this morning. Lots have been going on, and David has been kind enough to share the results of his polls pretty much on a weekly basis of late, and we are grateful for that. But there is an awful lot to talk about. David, first of all, good morning. Kalimera.
Good morning. Kalimera. Kalimera.
Olimera. David, first of all, New Hampshire polls are out. We've got a Supreme Court justice hearing going on. Amy Coney Barrett did a pretty good job, in my estimation, the last couple of days. New Hampshire polls, Corona, and the beat goes on, and it's T-minus 3 weeks at this point. So what do you got for us this morning, David?
Well, it's crazy because you've got people are splitting their ticket. In New Hampshire, you've got Biden winning by 10 points. You've got Shaheen, also a Democrat for Senate, winning by 15. Mm-hmm. And then you have the Republican governor, Sununu, winning by 24. So you've got people who are not voting straight party down the line. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not like the old days where people oftentimes just went all the way down the ticket and vote Democrat or Republican, especially in states that have high independents. And New Hampshire is one of them. So it looks like at this point, again, polls can change, events can change things. It looks right now that Democrats are favored to win president and Senate in New Hampshire, but that Governor Sununu, the Republican, will easily win re-election.
David, I don't recall last election New Hampshire went which way, Democratic or Republican?
Hillary Clinton by less than 1%, and okay. That was a tough one to poll. You know, our last Suffolk poll had it at 42-42, mm-hmm. So it was deadlocked in our poll. It was deadlocked on election night. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit different. You know, if we're anywhere close, this doesn't look like it's close because, again, we're 3 weeks out. We're not a week out like we were last time, but, you know, in 2016, things were vastly different, and I think what I noticed most is that you've got Republicans in New Hampshire, not a lot, but you have Republicans in New Hampshire who are voting for Biden. And you've got conservatives in New Hampshire who are voting for Biden, not a lot. I think it's 8% of registered Republicans said that they are voting for Biden in New Hampshire. And 14% of conservatives. That's high. Usually you don't have that kind of crossover. Even a small slice like that could make a big difference.
Yeah. And then, of course, the concerns about the mail-in ballot. David, do you think that, and it would be exactly 3 weeks from this morning, you know, looking at the clock, 8:45, we've all have voted. Are we going to have, do you think we're going to have a clear-cut winner that morning? Are we going to be announcing?
No.
Are we going to be talking to you and
no.
saying we have a winner? No. No, huh? You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think people have to manage their expectations and not set themselves up for an anxiety-ridden couple of days.
Yeah.
The reason is because there are so many people who are submitting mail-in ballots. And look, the town and city clerks, for the most part, are not equipped to process these. So they
right.
need to be deliberate and careful and accurate in the counting of the ballots. What will happen on election night, even if this race closes, is that Trump will be a lot stronger when you go to bed on election night, because people who vote on election day tend to be moderate or lean right, conservative. So Trump's going to have his best night, the election night, Tuesday night, before a lot of the mail-in ballots are counted. Then they're going to start counting mail-in ballots by the thousands, the tens of thousands, and then it's going to change. which then will probably prompt President Trump, if it's close, to sue and to say, I got the election stolen away from me, and he'll cry foul. And then potentially you could have a couple of troubling situations. You could have the election end up in a long litigation and in court, or, you know, or you could have the financial markets impacted. You know, the financial markets, the stock market, they don't like uncertainty. And if there is uncertainty and the nation's divided, that could impact the actual investment community as well.
David, I want to talk a little bit about the mail-in ballots once again. I think we touched on it last time or last week. But once again, so let's go over this. If you do a mail-in ballot, and a lot of people are doing this because they just don't want to go out because of COVID. So that's obviously, and from what we're hearing, you know, the post office is backing up. So right now at, you know, at the Watertown Post Office, at the Belmont Post Office, Cambridge, North Reading, Peabody, Lowell, all these post offices are accumulating ballots. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And now, they're going into one big, you know, these mailbox buckets that we all know. And then they don't they don't get opened or ready to prepare. I mean, do they actually open them and get them ready to, you know, we know what these ballots look like. You throw them through a scanner, right? Is that the same kind of ballot?
Yeah,
it's the same thing?
So it depends on the workflow on election day and each individual election commission or election board in each city and town. What usually happens in Massachusetts, and the rules are different in every state, but what usually happens is if there's a break in the in-person voting, the people who are the election administrators will use that time. If it's a dead time and there aren't a lot of people, they will use that dead time to open each envelope, announce you know, who's cast the ballot. They can't look at the ballot so that they won't be able to see, but they'll just as they do on election day, you know, your name gets called off, you get scratched off the list, you get handed a ballot. With the mail-in ballot's the same thing. Your name gets called, you get scratched off the list, and then the person puts your ballot in the machine, and then the vote is counted. But in areas like the urban areas where there's hundreds of thousands of ballots, they won't do that because it could be confusing and there will be long lines anyway. And so those ballots will be counted after the fact. That's why I say that you're going to have this red mirage where Republicans are going to appear to be much stronger on election night before all the mail-in ballots are counted.
Yeah, very, very interesting. All right, let's talk about for a couple of minutes. I want to get your take, and I did get an opportunity to spend a little time yesterday and watch the hearings. Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett, what are your thoughts on the whole thing, the whole situation?
Yes. She's like the Manchurian candidate. I mean, she's just amazing in terms of her ability to field questions, and she didn't flinch. I mean, she's a credible candidate, and it puts Democrats in a dilemma because if you attack her faith, you're attacking millions of Catholics around the country, and if you're a male Democrat and you appear to be badgering the witness, it's offensive looking, and it could turn off independent voters. So Democrats really have to be careful. They kind of know what the outcome is going to be, which is she's going to be approved, you know, barring some unforeseen revelation that blows up. And so it becomes really this delicate balance where they're testing her on health care, whether she would revoke Obamacare or change the election, if the election would end up in courts, which it may. And I think some of the Republican senators offered some tough questions, too. So I thought it was fair, and I thought she did a pretty good job.
Yeah, no, I agree. From somebody you'd never heard of at all of a sudden to no matter what side of the aisle on, I think you have to respect the woman for what she's done and what she's accomplished. And,
Well, how do you do that and be a mom of
and
six
a mom
kids?
Of six children with adopted children and, the real deal, David, that's all I can say. You know, she's a really good person. That's what we see. That's what's important, really, when you think about it. That's a really important thing. Anyway.
Yeah, and if she had problems, you know, this would reflect poorly on President Trump.
Right.
So, you know, and it's not. So, you know, that may have an impact on people who are still, you know, going back and forth.
Yeah. All right, what's next, David?
So we're going right back out in the field tomorrow in Pennsylvania, and we're going to start calling in Pennsylvania, and we will run the poll through the weekend and then probably release that early next week. And then after Pennsylvania, I have a decision to make. I really, you know, the game plan was to poll Michigan and Wisconsin, but right now Michigan and Wisconsin are really showing large margins. I mean, we wanted to poll at least one of the blue wall states, so I'm almost tempted to either come back to North Carolina, which was pulled closer, or Florida, or both. And then we've got, you know, potentially doing some research on some bellwethers too, so we could go a few different ways depending on what happens and whether or not this race closes. Most people agree that the national polls showing Biden ahead by 10 points probably won't stick. It didn't stick when Hillary Clinton was up 10 points and then the lead just kind of winnowed to 3 points by the end, and she ended up winning by 2, the popular vote. This time, you know, you've got Biden at 10. Most people think that he'll break down into the mid-high single digits, but I don't know if he'll go any much lower than that. So that puts pressure on President Trump to win a lot of the electoral states he needs to win.
Yeah. I'm curious. You've had so much adrenaline flowing these last for the last year, really. Think about it. Are you glad to see it come to an end, David? I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Kurastikes. Kurastikes, you tell
me. Yeah, exactly. You know, for me, it's just, you know, you're coming down the stretch. It's the, more and more people are animated. So I get my share of hate mail from Democrats and Republicans equally, so which I kind of like. It's not one-sided, but you know, you come to the end of it, but I'm almost saving some of that adrenaline past the election because, you know, we may need to be doing national polling if the election is up in the air. And I don't want to, you know, normally I would just go into a hole for 3 weeks and not talk to anybody and just recharge my battery. But in this case, I'm trying to be a little bit more prudent with my energy so that if in fact there is no decision on election night, you know, that we have the energy to go back out on the field, continue to research what people are thinking and feeling, you know, so that the average person can be somewhat, you know, consoled by what other people think, you know, based on what's going on.
David, I want to thank you so very much. Once again, last minute, when I see those polls, I gave David a text, and he responds with a thumbs up. Thanks for testing. Also, just I received a text message during our conversation from our Consul General, Stratos Efthymiou, who sends out a good morning as well. So, So, listen.
He's the best.
He is
the
best.
Is there anybody better than him?
You. David Palaiologos, thank you very much. We'll be talking again soon. Be well. Bye-bye.